Welcome, everyone, to Dirt Doctor Radio, specializing in how to be honestly green. There'll be no greenwashing here, just accurate advice on products and techniques that are healthy to use, save money, and are really good for the environment. Tips and suggestions from listeners are encouraged, so give us a call at 866-444-3478. It's now time to venture through the foggy misinformation and learn about what truly is green. Here he is, the Dirt Doctor and proud owner of Mystery Dog Tater, Howard Garrett.
Yeah, I got to see Tater and Carmen and Judy and everybody. Didn't see Logan. She's already gone back to Arizona last night when I got back in town. If you missed where I've been the last couple of weeks, listen to the first hour of the show. We had several things going on. Some that had been planned for a long time, some that were big, unfortunate, negative surprises, but you can listen to the first hour of the show and catch up on all that stuff. I don't need to go back through all of that. Again, this hour is brought to you by Green Industries, the makers of the new Garrett Juice Pro product, the one that has the next step in the advancement of the formula of Garrett Juice. And the big, really big difference in this one is the inclusion of beneficial bacteria and mycorrhizal fungus. You can go to GarrettJuicePro.com. That website is going to change sometime real soon, I think. But for right now, it's set up for information for people at GarrettJuicePro.com. Let's see. Real quick before we go back to the phones, and that number, open line for you to jump in right now at 866-444-3478. There's an article in the paper yesterday in the Fort Worth paper, a guy that writes gardening that's kind of the antithesis to my organic approach. He wrote about trees, and sometimes I just have to comment on stuff to help people because there's more at risk with tree purchasing and planting than anything that you do. And the thing that caught my eye, the only reason I read the thing, is that there's a great big picture of fruitless mulberry at the top and says that it's one of the fairly acceptable fast-growing shade trees. That was jarring because I think that's probably the worst tree that exists on Earth, and it should not be purchased. It is a giant weed. There was a landscape architect, I'm sure he's still there, in San Antonio, who used to listen and respond to my stuff in mostly a positive way and did some great design work down in San Antonio. He had a big hand in the river walk down there. I'm drawing a blank on his name. I'll think about it in a minute. But anyway, he always gave me a little bit of a hard time, never directly. I always heard about it kind of secondhand, that I was wrong when I said that certain trees were junk trees, that all trees planted in the proper place, you know, had a function. And for the most part, I would agree with him on that, except for a very few trees, and this is one of them, because this isn't a natural tree. This is a created, man-made tree. It was a hybridized version of the fruiting mulberry. And the fruiting mulberry is a messy tree, but it's a pretty decent tree. It'll live a long time. The fruit is actually extremely, well, delicious on the one hand and good for you on the other hand. And on the third hand, it's a mess if the birds are around and all that kind of thing. And it has a negative connotation because of that. Well, that's what led to this thing called a fruitless mulberry. And it's ugly, for one thing. It has big leaves, but they're not pretty big leaves. They're not graceful. They're just big. It's very awkward. It has great big gigantic roots that expand out of the soil and break concrete and mess up the soil. And the biggest problem I have with it is that it robs the nutrients from other plants severely. So it really doesn't fit into anything that we do. So don't ever let anybody talk you into that being a good choice. The other things in this column that I wanted to comment about, he recommends Eastern Red Cedar, which is fine. We've got a problem with it being a giant weed on some ranches and some properties, but used judiciously, It is a it's a pretty good tree. It's a native evergreen. You got to be careful where you use it. It can be water robbing as well. So you got to be, you know, just use some common sense about using it. Introduced trees, Japanese maples are good for most of the United States. I have no problem with that recommendation. I like them myself. The best ones in that category are the green ones, the Acer palmatum. That's the species plant that a lot of the native, that a lot of the hybrids were bred from. That's the best one because it's faster growing, it's larger, it can take more sun, and it's a tougher choice. But all of them are good. I got about 15 different kinds, I guess, in our garden. Crepe myrtles are mentioned, and hollies, they're fine, but both crepe myrtles and hollies are introduced. If you're working on native plantings and all, they don't fit in. But if you want to have some introduced plants, those are in the good category. And then he mentions ginkgo, says this northern shade tree survives beautifully in Texas. It's just a slower growing. It's just slower growing. Beautiful fall color, gold, and dramatic branching, living to 175 to 100 years. First of all, it'll live to 400 or 500 years probably. It is a tree that has been found in all the continents on Earth. It's a it's an ancient tree. It was around when the dinosaurs were around. I arguably now have the largest one in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Mine has grown over the 27 years. That's how Logan is. When I planted it, it has grown to be competitive with the champion ginkgos in the North Texas area, not in the South by any means, because some of the ones in deep sandy soils throughout the South and up into the North, and there's one in Chicago, for example, at Frank Lloyd Wright's old home and office that is enormous. It's gigantic, and there are others that, that push it. It is a good tree. Obviously, I've got a big one, and it's a big deal in my garden. You can see not only photographs of it on our website on dirtdoctor.com. You can see a video of it there in one. I think we did it in a newsletter. I'm not sure, but you can find it by going into the library of dirtdoctor.com and go to Ginkgo, and there's a video there of two things. One is the yellow foliage falling in the autumn, which is great, and a little tater, crazy dog tater, running around in it. So check that out. The negative is that there are a lot of ginkgos being planted these days in a way and in areas where they're not going to work. There's some big ones planted in Irving at the new Irving Convention Center, which are really tall and awkward to start with, and it's going to be tough for them to ever do very well in that extremely heavy plastic clay soil out there. They'll do okay, but they really kind of struggle pretty severely with it. And when you start off with real lanky ones, they really have a hard time ever getting to be full and healthy and that sort of thing. If they're planted in white rocky areas or an alkaline soil areas that are just not very friable and not very healthy, they will grow maybe a half inch to an inch a year. And that's what a lot of people think that they always do. Mine grows 20 inches a year because it's in organic soil. It's always been organic since it was planted. But you have to have deep, good soil. The back of my property, the front of my property is solid white rock 6 inches under in the back, because of erosion through the years and the buildup of organic matter from our work and everything. There's deep soil there, and so it does very well. For landscape people out there, when you design a ginkgo into a project that has shallow soils, you're wasting your money. The ginkgo's not going to do well. It has a reputation of being able to take urban smog and air pollution, and that's true, but its root system cannot take shallow soils that aren't healthy and have a lot of synthetic fertilizer thrown on them all the time. And one other thing about it is that everybody will tell you to always get the females. He didn't mention one way or the other here, but most people say always get the males rather than the females. Avoid the females because the fruit causes a stinky mess if it's just left on the ground. Well, I don't mind it. Mine is female. We pick up the fruit and we use it to grow small trees, give the seed away and that sort of thing. plus the fact the seed and the fruit is edible, and I never have done that. I need to learn how to do it properly and get into it and talk to you about it over the air. I just haven't done it. But we do save the seed, pick up the fruit. The point for you to know is that mine was planted by a landscape contractor 27 years ago with a tag on it that said it was a male, you know, from a reputable nursery and grower and the whole thing. It is my opinion at this point that the ginkgo possibly has the ability to change sex, and you may not get a male long term. Any ginkgo that gets some size and age on it may end up having some fruit, so watch that. Howard Garrett, 866-444-3478. More later.
BioSI is a leading manufacturer of beneficial microbe and enzyme products. BioSI products help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops. BioSI products loosen the soil, reduce fertilization needs, and help reduce irrigation needs. BioSI can be used to treat flowers, lawns, shrubs, and trees, as well as herb and vegetable gardens. Water Doctor by BioSI cleans and maintains ponds, lakes, and water gardens. Contact them today at 866-393-4786 or on the web at BioSITechnology.com.
Okay, gardeners and farmers, for over 30 years, Arbico Organics has been a leading provider to growers nationwide. Arbico Organics offers beneficial insects, natural fly control, mosquito control, beneficial nematodes, grub and beetle control, insect traps, and many other pest solutions. Call 800-SOS-BUGS, 800-827-2847 to speak with one of their friendly specialists, or go online to arbico-organics.com. That's arbico-organics.com.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Let me tell you about a great new eco-friendly alternative to fish oil, Chia Omega. New from our friends at Essential Formulas, the Dr. O'Hara's probiotic folks. Chia Omega is an all-natural, plant-based omega-3 line of supplements made from chia seed oil, the richest and most sustainable natural source of ALA omega-3 on the planet, even more than fish or flax. So ask for Chia Omega at fine health food retailers starting this month and don't accept a substitute. Chia Omega, good for you and good for the planet.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Your pets are very special and their diet is important. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I recommend Munster Natural dog food and cat food. That's what my dogs get. Dogs love the taste of Munster, and the ingredients are important to me. Munster Natural contains no toxic preservatives and does have the highest quality ingredients, including prebiotics and L-carnitine, and the presence of some very unusual ingredients that I've been recommending for a long time. The chicken and rice formulas contain no soy, wheat, or corn. Some of the formulas are the original ones, so the choice is yours. Munster Natural pet foods are made with grains from local farmers, and the bags are made right here in the USA. Everything about Munster Natural is quality and results in healthy dogs and cats. If your pet store doesn't stock Munster, ask them to contact Munster Milling through their website, munstermilling.com. About how to get the product in your area and make your dogs and cats happier and healthier. It's Munster Natural.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Howard Garrett back with you, and we've got one more thing for me to put on Facebook and to show you some pictures of. We took a trip to see the champion pecan tree in Weatherford before I left town, and just to make sure it's okay and check with Lynn Finch. Bill died several months ago, and so we were kind of trying to keep up with how things are going there. We were all delighted to see that it was in extremely good health, even with the weather. It doesn't have a pecan crop this year, which was a little interesting. I think it's the first year I've seen that. But there's no tip dieback. There's still the little damage going on inside the tree, which was the original big thing that we worked on. But overall, it really looks good, and we'll show you more on it as we go. The thing I was going to finish, and we'll go right back to the phones, I promise. It's this article about trees mentions Chinese pistachio tree, and some people think that this is the best tree that they could possibly plant. I did too at one time, and I've really backed off of that. It's an introduced tree. It comes from China, which doesn't necessarily kill it from being used, but it has been now put on the invasive species list. The birds take the seed around. It's popping up all over the place. So that's an issue. The other one is that it is the worst tree in the category of having circling and girdling roots, and coming from the nurseries, the growing operations, too deep in the soil. And I think those two things, as a lot of you know, are related. So if you are buying a Chinese pistachio tree, or you've recently planted one, without question, you need to have an arborist with an air spade, take the soil off the base, quite a bit of it, in fact, or do it by hand with a big horse stiff brush or something, cut away the circling and girdling roots, or you're going to have some serious problems on down the line. And then in the oak category, oaks that were mentioned were chinquapin and Schumard oaks. There's a lot of oaks. We cover the ones in my books that I recommend, the ones that I think that are definitely not used enough, are Lacey oak, L-A-C-E-Y, Lacey oak, and Canby oak, C-A-M-B-Y. Canby oak is a semi-to-totally evergreen red oak. It originally comes from the Big Bend area of Texas, and is starting to be a little bit more available. The Mexican white oak is another great one that you don't hear recommended too much, and it is just an absolutely fantastic tree that you should look at. And in the maple category, which aren't mentioned other than Japanese maple in this article, the one you need to look at is big tooth maple. It is a great one. Back to the phones. Rosemary in Waco next up. Hey, Rosemary.
Hey, Neil. How are you?
How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Did you get the wrong station here?
Did I get the wrong station?
This is Howard.
Howard Garrett, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's
no,
up?
No, I didn't get the wrong station.
What's up?
I want to plant a crepe myrtle in a very small lawn. I live in a townhouse, and so the front lawn is not very big. And I wondered if crepe myrtles come in sort of a dwarf variety where they don't get way too big.
Yeah, they come in several different sizes. There are some super dwarf ones, Rosemary, that you can use as, a substitute for abelia or, you know, some of the deciduous shrubs that we would use that stay, you know, that are the dwarf forms. They don't turn into trees at all, and they can be cut back, in fact, sheared, so they stay real low, and they can stay as low as, you know, 3 feet or so. And then there's kind of an intermediate group of crepe myrtles, and some of them are really pretty, and they get up into the 8 to 10 feet range and make a little miniature trees, or can be kept sheared into a bigger kind of a hedge situation as well. But, yeah, they do come in all sizes.
Well, I'm more interested in the ones, you know, where they trim them and it just has the foliage and the blooms on the top part of the plant or the tree. Is there any particular preparation of the soil if you were going to plant a crepe myrtle?
No, one of the things about crepe myrtles is that even though they're introduced, they behave themselves like a native plant. And you can plant them right in the native soil. There's no bed preparation really required. If they are planted in a prepared bed area, they like that even better because the surface feeder roots will stay pretty much in the prepared bed preparation. The thing you don't want to do with a crepe myrtle or any other tree is dig a hole and improve that hole that they go down in. If you plant them in a bed, you know, they get backfilled with the material that was there in the bed, and
mm-hmm.
that's great. And if they're planted out in a lawn area or in a bare area, a new place, you just simply use the soil that came out of the hole. Now, you improve that soil by digging a great big wide saucer-shaped hole because that aerates that soil. You're putting the native soil in, but you're putting it in a looser form so that those roots will take off into it, you know, without hitting a wall of a glazed wall that would have been created if you used an auger or something like that.
Right. If you wanted to do a couple of them or maybe three in a grouping, how much room, I mean, can they be pretty close together?
Yeah, they can be so close together they'd almost look like a multi-stem plant, but it'd be better if you kept them 20 or 30 feet apart so you can see the individual plant's structure.
Okay.
All right.
All right, and I can plant them now.
Oh, yeah.
Matter?
Yeah, it'd be great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rosemary. 866-444-3478. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be right back.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Secretary of State John Kerry is sending a strong warning to Syria, saying that, quote, the threat of force is real if it doesn't carry out a plan to hand over its chemical weapons worked out between the U.S. and Russia yesterday. President Obama says his administration's approach to Syria's chemical weapons should show Iran that there's the potential for diplomatic solutions to armed standoffs. Helicopter crews planning to expand their searches today for people stranded by flooding in Colorado, but those plans could be hampered by more rain. Up to 2 inches of rain could fall in the troubled region today, according to the National Weather Service. And New Mexico is cleaning up after massive flooding that followed heavy rain Friday. Floodwaters broke through dams, inundated neighborhoods, and killed at least one person. State police say the body of a man was found yesterday in a submerged vehicle. This is SRN News.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-800-581-7226. 1-800-581-7226. That's 1-800-581-7226. 1-800-581-7226.
With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Frost. Top-ranked Alabama fell behind quickly 14-0, scored 35 consecutive points, and then held on to win at number 6 Texas A&M 49-42. Aggies quarterback Johnny Manziel with 5 touchdown passes and a career-high 464 yards passing tried to encourage his offense as the Tide's offense rolled up and down the field.
No matter what happened on the defensive side of the ball, no matter what happened special teams, we felt like we could come out and score points. So I was proud initially more than anything else, just proud of the way they kept fighting till the very end.
Second-ranked Oregon had to Tennessee their worst loss since 1910, 59-14. Volunteers coach Butch Jones summed up their offensive day.
Too many three and outs.
Number 4 Ohio State rolled to its 15th straight victory, 52-34 at California. Quarterback Jared Goff made this surprising admission.
We kind of came out just not competing as hard as we should.
Fifth-ranked Stanford led by 7 at the half before beating Army 34-20. Number 7 Louisville's defense forced 3 turnovers in a 27-13 win over Kentucky. Zach Mettenberger had 3 touchdown passes as number 8 LSU beat Kent 45-13. This is SRN Sports. 10th-ranked Florida State crushed Nevada 62-7. Visiting Akron drove to the Wolverines' 4-yard line in the closing seconds, but a 4th-down pass fell incomplete as time expired. 11th-ranked Michigan held on for a 28-24 win. 12th-ranked Oklahoma State is 3-0 after they beat Lamar 59-3. Number 13 South Carolina downed Vanderbilt 35-25. The Gamecocks 2-1. 14th-ranked Oklahoma is 3-0 after they beat Tulsa 51-20. Number 16 UCLA wiped out an 18-point deficit to win at number 23 Nebraska 41-21. Cornhuskers coach Bo Pelini.
We just didn't execute well enough to play to win the football game and played a horrendous second half.
17th-ranked Northwestern was a 38-17 winner over Western Michigan. It was 19th-ranked Washington 34, Illinois 24. Arizona State surprised number 20 Wisconsin 32-30. 21st-ranked Notre Dame was a 31-24 winner over Purdue. Number 25 Mississippi, Clyburn, Texas 44-23. The Longhorns are 1-2. With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
Howard Garrett back with you. Telephone number is 866-444-DIRT-3478. Here's Danny in North Dallas. Hi, Danny.
Yes, I was doing my grocery shopping. I just got back in my car. I'm talking about a bur oak, and I'm curious as to the root system, how close I can plant it to the house, and how close can I plant it to a sewer line.
Well, I've got a bur oak in the front of our house. It's probably about 8 feet from the foundation, and it's gotten pretty big. And I planted it there, so I don't worry about that too much. Some people do. Being near a sewer line, there's no problem other than just the roots getting really big and moving lines in the ground, which you'd have with any utility lines, and then breaking those lines as the root grows. I've had that happen one time, since I've been planting and dealing with trees, which is a long time, and it broke an irrigation line by just expanding so much, and, you know, it's finally just broke it. So that's always a possibility. Hurting the foundation, like I talked about with a caller in one of the earlier hours, is not a problem unless there's water standing under the house, a leak, a faulty foundation, something like that, so it's a better environment for the roots to be under the house than it is out in the garden where you're watering. In most cases, the foundation, whether it's a slab or pier and beam, is creating a condition where there's less moisture under the house than outside it. So that's where the roots would stay, is outside in the more moisture. So trees being fairly close to the house is, in most cases, not every case, but in most cases, not a problem.
Does it have a tap root?
All plants, all trees, all woody plants have a tap root to start with, and all of them lose the tap root, including pecans. So don't worry about that.
Okay.
All right.
How long will it take to get one of them up where it'll give me some shade on my house?
Well, it depends on how you push it with fertilizer, organic fertilizer and all. We've got one in the front of our house that I planted probably, I don't know, 8 years ago or something like that. And it's a big tree now. It's got an 8-inch or more caliber, and it's 25, 30 feet tall and pretty wide, producing shade quite well. It's one of the faster-growing oaks, and it's a good one.
I was just going to spread maybe 1 inch of compost around out to the drip line once a year, about an inch. Do you think that would be enough fertilizer, or should I use something else?
Well, trees' root systems are designed so they're extremely efficient at pulling nutrients out of the soil, no matter how lousy the soil is. That's why we can plant them the way we do and not amend the area at all, and they do well. If you amend the surface of the soil like you're talking about with compost or a little bit of organic fertilizer, you know, a little bit of Garrett juice.
I don't think I'm going to go.
I'm sorry? Hello.
Okay.
Danny, you there?
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay. Danny must need to go somewhere. But, yeah, the answer to his question was an inch, half inch, or an inch of compost over the root zone is organic fertilizer and is a good thing to do. So any kind of, mild feeding is great. If you don't feed them at all, they're going to live. They'll grow out in the wild without any fertilizer. They get fertilizer from the leaves and the debris and the manure of the animals running around in a native area that are left on the ground. So some kind of mild fertilizer is good even with the native plants like a bur oak. Garlic Mike with an interesting question here. Hey, Garlic Mike.
How you doing, Howard? Glad to have you back. But I must say, I sure enjoyed Trop, Tony, and Megan last week. They had a great show.
Well, it was great. I haven't listened to the whole thing. They had one of the growers on with them. I heard that, but I haven't heard it enough to comment on too much. So I'll listen to it and comment on it next week.
Another interesting thing, Megan brought up this machine that they have that does a bedding, and then it overlays it with a weed barrier and then punches holes in it, and two people sit on the back and just sit seedlings in the holes.
I've been at her farm, and I've seen it, yeah.
Oh, she's got pictures on her Facebook page here now about it. I'm going to tell you what, that is a beautiful piece of equipment.
Yeah,
goodness.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, I've gotten into a little conversation with a few friends, and it just keeps coming around and coming around about duck eggs. I like larger eggs, and I'm disappointed. Chicken eggs just seem to get smaller and smaller and smaller. And I've got access to, farmers markets and stuff, but I've found this one source for duck eggs, and they are just gorgeous. But I want to hear your take on them. I never hear you talk about them. What do you know?
I've eaten them. I've eaten duck eggs. They're a little stronger flavor, which some people like and some people would not. There's an issue about whether they've been fertilized or not. If they haven't been fertilized, you eat them just like chicken eggs, and you'd prepare them just like chicken eggs. The only difference is they're bigger and will have a stronger taste. But on the other hand, a lot of the duck eggs that you might get your hands on are going to be fertilized, in which case there may be a little baby duck in there. Now, if you look at websites, if you do a search on it, you'll find that in the Asian communities, it's considered a delicacy and an aphrodisiac even. To eat an egg that has, the embryo of the baby duck already formed. Now, well, I don't think I would do that, but that's what is done. But the point is, the best way to go is to, have the unfertilized eggs. How you know before you crack it open, I don't have any idea.
I had experience with egg and chicken production over in Ruston, Louisiana, where I grew up as a child. Mm-hmm. And you look at it through a bright light. You hold the egg up and you can see through the shell.
Okay, a good tip.
And I'm excited about it. Got me a dozen of them to try, and fixing to cook a few up here after your show's over and see what we think about
it. Well, you know what comes next. You are in charge of this research.
Love it. Thank you, Howard.
See you, Mike.
Bye.
Let's see. What else would there was something as a follow-up I was going to mention about that, and I can't remember. One thing about traveling, I don't know what it was. One thing about traveling in Ireland, most of the restaurants, or a good number of the restaurants where we ate, and we ate in everything from pubs to some really fancy, smancy hotel restaurants, served range eggs, you know, grass-fed, free-range chicken and chicken eggs, and I was delighted to see that. We saw a little bit of organic produce and organic food mentioned on the menus, not a whole lot, but a fair amount, so I was delighted to see that as well. Richard is next in Colorado Springs, back with us. Hey, Richard.
Hey, I don't want to take up too much time, but I got three quick questions.
Sure.
One, I was weeding my potatoes, and I noticed I've got these little dingleberries. They look like tomatoes coming off the plant. What are they?
Well, it's the fruit. It's the fruit of the potato. See, you know that potatoes and tomatoes are closely related. They're both nightshades. So they have the yellow flowers, and then they have fruit that follows that. And so what you're seeing is simply the fruit of the potato. Eat it. It's poisonous.
No, yeah, I was going to say. But is it a seed fruit?
Yeah, it's got seed in it. It's got seed in it that you can grow new plants from. Now, what they will be is who knows, because you don't know what the cross was that pollinated the flower.
Right.
But
right,
it's worth a try. See what happens. See what comes up.
Okay, the other thing is, which essential oil should I use to get rid of these grasshoppers and these little black beetles I got all over them?
Well, grasshoppers, if they're big and feeding, the essential oils don't affect them that
don't
much
work.
In fact, if there's a severe outbreak of real big ones, not even the kale and clay is a foolproof way to control them. You have to go to a real strong, good neem product or something like that. The only
this is little ones, basically.
Well, the little bitty ones, you can go to the stores there and probably buy the Eco Smart product, uh-huh, which is an essential oil product, and that would work fine on the small guys and also on the little beetles that you're having trouble with.
Okay, one other thing. My pumpkin plants are 52 feet long right now, but where they started from, the leaf mold fungus has gotten super bad, probably from all this weather, and I used 50% peroxide, 50% water, and I also drenched them with cornmeal. Should I just cut these things out?
Are they still showing?
Oh, they're
mildew?
Bad. They're white, frosty leaves, the ones that are really affected.
Well, that should have taken care of it. The older leaves get that way almost every time, so it's not a production killer, really. It's more of a cosmetic deal. The only other thing that you might try in that situation is use a cup of milk per gallon of the spray and see if that helps even more.
But it's mainly because it's the older leaves.
Yeah.
Because it is close to the root vine.
That's right.
Okay, cool.
They're not even essential anymore, just that new growth out there is doing all the work. Richard, thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. It's Maggie's turn in Fort Worth. Hadn't talked to her in a while. Hey, Maggie.
How are you?
Doing great.
Sounds like you've had a nice break.
Well, it's been interesting, to say the least.
My neighbor has identified a small tree in her garden as a Mexican plum. She mm-hmm. tells me it's about 4 feet tall.
Okay.
So we propose to transplant that into my yard. If I pull it out, get the roots, and do it like a bare root transplant into very shallow dirt with mulch, do you think that will work?
It will. I'd wait till little fall color is showing on some of the plants around, maybe even that plant, bare root it, and it won't miss a beat.
Okay.
You can do it now. You could bare root it now, and you probably have 85-90% chance of success. If you wait until fall color has started showing, that means it has totally changed, you know, what's going on in the plant, and it won't even be shocked at all.
Yeah, I would expect it to look pretty bad for a few weeks before fall comes and all that, and to revive in the spring.
Probably. Just wait, though, until the fall color, and it won't even be shocked.
Okay.
Okie doke.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Yeah, little Mexican plums are great little trees. They have really pretty exfoliating bark. They do have thorns. That's the only negative that some people would consider, I guess. The flowers are white or off-white and extremely fragrant, really, really good. That was another tree that was mentioned in the article I was commenting about before. It was mentioned that flowering peaches don't live a long time and aren't really good. I don't really agree with that. I think for a flowering tree, flowering peaches are real high on my list. I like them. They tend to be pretty durable. My favorite ones are white ones. They're hard to find, but the beautiful, pure white flowers you get on a flowering peach tree is spectacular. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. I'll be back right after this.
Crazy water is so good, it's crazy. And it also happens to be a good sports drink. The all-natural minerals and electrolytes infused into Crazy Water deep underground by Mother Nature help your body rehydrate and recover much better than all the artificial colors and sugars found in most sports drinks. If you can't make the run all the way down to the wells in Mineral Wells, Texas, you can get all the Crazy Water you need at HEB, Whole Foods, and Central Market. Crazy Water, so good, it's crazy.
At Natural Organic Warehouse, you get more than just affordable products for your farm, landscapes, ranch, or home. You also get practical field-based advice on how to best solve problems. That's because we're growers too. It's our advice that sets us apart from other product providers. Get the products and the advice you need by visiting naturalorganicwarehouse.com or call us at 888-998-9669. That's naturalorganicwarehouse.com, 888-998-9669. Better, cleaner, sustainable choices.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to function at their peak. That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
The first step to a beautiful lawn this spring is an application of Revive. Hi, Dale Langford here. You know, I've been writing lawn and garden columns for over 40 years, and I found one product that really works. It's Revive Organic Soil Treatment. Revive is a proven, unique formula of wetting agents, soil conditioners, and nutrients. It's organic-based, safe for kids and pets, and will not burn your lawn. Revive moves fertilizer and water down deep to the roots. Hey, that saves water and fertilizer, and that saves money. The results are spectacular. Get greener grass with less water. A lush, dark green, healthy lawn that you can be proud of. And remember, saving water is saving money. Revive is available at your favorite garden center. Visit Revive.com for more information and store locations. Use Revive every few weeks for the greenest lawn on your block. In fact, use Revive right now. It works.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's MedinaAg.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And to finish up today, let's get back to the phones. During the week, you can get your questions answered, and for the most part, at dirtdoctor.com on our website. Send us questions to info@dirtdoctor.com. You can join the Organic Club of America and get things answered a lot faster because we just have so much volume we have to get to. Plus, the fact I've been out, as you know, most of you listening to the show, and it'll take a while for me to totally catch up, but we're in the process of doing that right now. And then here is Sandy in Weatherford next. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Howard. Good morning. Howard, what do you know about fig trees?
Well, what you want to know? I have two pretty big ones. I've been around them quite a bit. Ours produce a whole lot more than we can eat, and I think it's one of the easier plants in the fruit category to grow, actually.
Well, mine has been doing really well all summer, and about 2 weeks ago or a week ago, the leaves started shriveling and they're falling off, and half of the tree, the leaves are shriveled and falling off, and the other half is kind of still trying to make it. What is that a sign of? Is it a bug?
There's not too many insect or disease problems that hit fig trees in general, so it's probably something related to stress, which is what we commonly deal with in the root zone, staying too wet, being too dry, having some kind of contamination. Figs can be too deep in the ground, just like a shade tree or an ornamental tree can. So check that.
It's about 5 years old.
Doesn't matter how old it is.
Okay.
You know, we've uncovered the flares of 800-year-old pecan trees and everything down to brand-new little seedlings. So that can be a problem with any age plant. It doesn't matter about that. So check all that stuff. Take a probe. In fact, our last newsletter, we kind of reran a newsletter we did on probes. You can use a professional pipe probe or make one out of a golf club shaft. Just break a head off of a golf club and use it as a shaft to poke into the ground and see whether the soil is too wet, too dry, or there's a hard pan. All three of those cases can be the problem you're dealing with your fig there.
If I did that, I've already done that, and I was able to probe down in there probably about a foot and then it kind of became a little harder.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean it's probably too dry if I could only go down a foot? Or how far should you be able to probe down?
Well, it just depends on what the base material is. A fig tree can grow in 4 to 6 inches of good soil on top of rock. So your probe wouldn't be able to go down, you know, into the rock. But if you're still in soil and it hits like you've hit a board or a piece of rock and it's not really that, it may be too dry. You may need to let the hose just run slowly on that area for a long period of time, like 24 hours almost, and really saturate and soak. If when you pull that probe out, was there soil stuck to the probe and real nice and moist?
No, there was no soil stuck to
it. Okay, it's too dry.
It's too dry.
Yeah.
And I did that a week ago. I've watered it. Oh, I just water it a couple of hours a day. And yesterday I poured a gallon mixture with the Garrett juice right next to the base of the tree. Is that okay to do that?
Sure, that's fine. But just make sure you have plenty of moisture on there. After it gets too dry, it takes real long, real slow drenching of the soil to get the moisture level back up to where you want. But it sounds pretty definitely like you let it get a little bit too dry.
Is it okay that all the leaves are going to fall off of it? Because they are. I mean, it's going to be pretty obvious that over half the tree, the leaves are falling off.
Actually, that's a good sign in most cases that the leaves are releasing and falling. If they're turning brown and hanging on the tree, it's a goner.
Oh, okay.
And that's especially true with certain plants over others. But in general, that's the case. So the leaves releasing is probably a good sign. It's also another good indication that you let it get too dry.
And some of them are turning yellow first.
Yeah, that's common when it's dry.
And then one other question. Last weekend they were talking about fertilization, and I kind of got confused. Do you need to put a pre-emergent out now, or should you wait till February if you don't really have any weeds in your yard right now?
Well, I don't recommend any kind of chemical pre-emergence, of course. But the one that you do use, if you're going to use one, and I don't use this one very much because it's a little inconsistent, to a lot inconsistent, that's corn gluten meal. And the timing to do that will be September. Where are we now? We're about at September the 15th now. So, yeah, we're in the window right now to put it out.
You need to put it out, even if you don't have weeds or anything in your yard?
Yeah, because it's a pre-emergent. It will keep the germinating weeds that start germinating during the cool weather that become winter weeds and early spring weeds from germinating. You put it out right now. What I do instead is, it's okay to do that, especially if you haven't fertilized in a while, but if you have fertilized recently, you might not want to do it because that's an awful lot of organic fertilizer. What I do is I wait till the period of time between Christmas and New Year's, more or less, when those little weed seed will have germinated and are growing. You can just see them, the real little plants all down around the turf, you spray with one of the organic herbicides that's a contact killer at that point. You spray with vinegar or one of the fatty acid products like Scythe or the Monterey product or Avenger, which is a delaminating product, and you kill those little weed seed that are starting to grow, and it knocks them out and it gives you a nice clean look.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Howard. Appreciate it.
Appreciate the call. Everybody, I appreciate it. It's great calls today and had some good stuff. Those of you holding, hang on. I'll help you before I get away from here. But I've got to go, and we'll be around on the website, dirtdoctor.com, during the week. Send us questions to info@dirtdoctor.com. Enjoy your gardens, and don't forget to feed the birds.